I will share the sheet. 1 second. Here we go. Okay. Well, that's very big. Okay, here we go.
That's good.
So, Parshat Vayetze. Let's see some shtiklach. So, the first piece that we're going to see from the Abarbanel starts at the beginning of the parasha when it says, Vayifgaba Makom Vayalan Sham. This is when Yaakov is making his way away from Esav, and he stops in a certain place, which we know is going to be Har Moriah, and he stays there, and that's where he davens, we know. So the Rabbanan comments and says, "Vinei Yaakov liotam. He was running away. He didn't want to go to a makom yeshuv. He didn't want to stop in a real town because he was afraid." So the Rabbanan understands that actually what happened is that Yaakov got lost. He got lost. He didn't know where he was. And he ended up, luckily, Vayifka b'makom, v'oto makom yadua, Har HaMoriah, sh'nekad sham Yitzchak Aviv. He happened to come upon the place where his father had been experienced Akedat Yitzchak. And he continues and he says, this word, pegiyah, that tells you when a person does or encounters something that he didn't intend to encounter. A pegiyah is an accidental event. So that's why it says, Vayifka b'makom. Further, it says, "Vayelan Shem Kiva Shemesh." He laid down because the Shemesh came. That tells you that he would have liked to continue walking, right? He would have no problem continuing to walk. But Min HaShamayim, it turned out that Hashem brought down the sun that caused him to have to lay down at that moment. In other words, Hashem caused it to happen. What the Rabbanan was trying to say is that Hashem wanted Yaakov to lay down exactly in that spot. It wasn't an accident from Hashem's perspective, but it was unintentional from Yaakov's perspective. So all the meaning that comes out of that is purposeful. Now, what's the purpose? So here is Abarbanel giving the hints of what we're supposed to learn from the story. He says, all three Batei Mikdash are going to be in that place. You have all three Batei Mikdash. So three times the word Makom shows up. The word Makom represents the Beit Mikdash. Shows up three times. Once, Vayifka b'makom, Vayalan Sham Kiva HaShemesh. And the Abarbanel says it's not a mistake that you have this phrase Kiva Shemesh over there, because he says Yavo Hashemesh Tzar V'Or Choshech V'Aripav B'Churban Beit Mikdashenu V'Tifarteinu. It means that it's going to be burned down. That's what it means, that the fire is going to attack the first Beit Hamikdash. Then you have again Vayikach Me'Avnei HaMakom V'Yaseh Mirashotav. He takes from the rocks of the place. That in that place, sorry, in the second Beit HaMikdash, we're not going to have all of the divine gifts that we had in the first one. And that's represented by the idea that Yaakov takes from the rocks of that place and not all the rocks of that place. And then finally, Keneged Bayit Shlishi, Vayishkav b'makom ahu. Because there is going to be a resting place. It's going to be a permanent place. So according to the Abarbanel, we have over here three mentions of the word makom, and each one corresponds to one of the Bata Mikdash. The first one is represented by the Shemesh coming, and the second one is represented by the fact that he takes from the rocks of that place and not all the rocks. That's because the second Bata Mikdash was lacking. And then the third one is Vayishkav b'makom ahu. That's a permanent resting place, and that's going to be the third Bata Mikdash. That's the Abarbanel now.
Why can't? Why do we need to say that Baha Shemesh is referring to the Beit HaMikdash and the fire, where, rather than just the simple explanation, the sun was setting and Yaakov had to go to sleep because he couldn't walk in the dark?
And how does that correspond to the first Beit HaMikdash? The idea that the Choshech comes? That might be what he's saying.
Maybe it's a reach. I mean, why is he? It looks like he's reaching to make a connection to the Beit HaMikdash, where there is also a simple meaning that Kibah HaShemesh means, hey, So the same, you
He is,
can't
no,
walk in the dark.
he's not claiming that this is the only way to read the pasuk and that it's required to read the pasuk this way. He's saying that there's a remez here. There's a hint to the three Bate Mikdash, and the three mentions of the word makom are, lead you to that hint. Not saying it's the only way to read the pasuk. Okay, now we're looking at the Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim Ibn Attar. So we're now in the 15th century, and a number of the mafarshim that we're going to see address this pasuk when it says, Vayavo gam el Rachel and Vayahav gam et Rachel. When it says that Yaakov came also, this is the way we would translate the word nowadays. The word gam nowadays means also. So what does it mean in the Torah though? Because it says Leah, he came to Leah, and then he came also to Rachel, and he loved, and then it just says he loved also Rachel. So he says, Tam omro gam bet pamim v'leishi chavin l'rabot shabbat tosefet kviut etzla. Here he says, Gam means that with Tosefet Kviyut, with more permanence. That he spent more time with Rachel than he did with Leah, Yaakov. So, according to the Or HaChaim, it means that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, why does the Torah have to tell us this?
Doesn't
What's that,
he
Barbara?
say somewhere? Doesn't he say somewhere that he hated Leah, or have I got that
So
mixed up?
Yaakov never says that he hates Leah. The Torah says that that Leah perceived that she was hated. It never says that Yaakov hated Leah. So, this is the interesting phrase. He says, "Kefiat teva ha'atmada tamita ahava," which means that familiarity. Over here, it says familiarity reduces love. We would have said familiarity breeds contempt, which is a common phrase. But he's saying over here that you would think that the more time he spends with Rachel, the more diminished his love for her will be. Lest you become overly satisfied and come to hate the person. And distance breeds more temptation, more love. That he both was with her more often and he loved her more than Leah. And the Shiur Tevat mi Leahu mi Leahov Leah. He loved her more than he loved Leah, even though he spent more time with her. We'll see other interpretations for that later. Derech Shivat Yamim. So here's an interesting point that the Or HaChaim says. It brings to mind what the Rabban El wrote beforehand. Yaakov runs away from Lavan on a 7-day journey. And then what happens? Lavan catches him, right? So the Or HaChaim says, Yeshlach kor, lama nishtana Yaakov b'halicha zo, shelo kavtza lo haaretz kamishpat lo havishmo. Why didn't Yaakov merit to have a kfitzata derech, that Hashem should make him travel faster than humanly possible? After all, we find that by many people, like by Eliezer, Matzino Shafilu Eliezer Avir Aviv Kavtza lo haaretz. And in fact, it says about Yaakov's journey from Be'er Sheva to Haran that there was a kfitzata derech, but on his way back there isn't, and that's why Lavan is able to catch him. If Yaakov had had a kfitzat haderech, then Lavan wouldn't have caught him. So what are we going to say? Ulai ki higid lo ha'adon baruch hu bazeh she'ein tzarich livrach ki agam she'edbiko Lavan hayuchal daber ilav afilu dibor. Maybe Hashem was sending a message to Yaakov by not making his journey go fast, that you know what, he didn't really need to run away from Lavan. He would have been fine. Hashem would have protected him. The fact that Yaakov is running away in desperation implies that Hashem wouldn't be able to protect him. Hashem wanted to arrange that Yaakov should be caught by Lavan so that Hashem could basically thwart Lavan's evil plans. Even though Lavan is a Baal Bechira, he has free choice, he won't be able to do what he wanted to do to Yaakov. So in other words, Hashem arranged for this to happen. It's almost like when Bnei Israel were caught at the banks of the Yam Suf, right? Hashem arranged for that to happen so that he could drown the Egyptians in the Yam Suf. It's a similar thing over here.
So
He goes even
what did he want to happen? He wanted Lavan to catch him. Why?
So that Hashem could show that Lavan can't do anything to him, even if he caught him, even though he caught him.
Okay.
Gam baze
Shishet.
Hashem sibev kama sibuvin kritat brit imol val yadik shevamzit adavai nitgabru alav yisrael b'miyashoftim. He says also he wanted Lavan to catch up so that they would have this treaty, this famous treaty at Galed, which would have historical ramifications that we find in the stories of the Shoftim. And then finally, this is really stunning. He says there's another, there's one last ramification of the fact that Yaakov was caught by Lavan. Mize nimshach kvurat Rachel b'makom ahu, kedei shetia tovah la'ot la'tovat ot begalut. It's because of this that Rachel was buried at Kever Rachel, v'derech Ephrata. What is he talking about over here? Why is it because of this that Rachel was buried there, and why is that a good thing?
Rachel lied to her father about the trafim and not getting up out of her saddle, and it was a good thing because as the Jews were going to Galut, they stopped and prayed by Kever Rachel.
Right, so Rachel stole the trafim, and Yaakov said, whoever stole the trafim is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which caused her to die early on the way, Bader Hefrata, and Rachel is going to be there when we eventually come back to Eretz Israel. Hashem is there. She's crying. Sorry, not Hashem. Rachel is there crying when we leave, and she'll be there to greet us when we come back in. Rachel mevaka al baneha. That's a good thing. That's what it says in the Midrash. That's the significance of that burial. So according to the Arachayim, this whole encounter with Lavan, the fact that Yaakov was caught by Lavan, was arranged. It was on purpose that Hashem did that. And that's why there couldn't be a Kvitzat HaDerech. Okay, moving on to the Klei Yakar. Yeah, Barbara?
Yeah, just you said something about historical ramifications from the Shoftim. I didn't understand that.
The fact that there was a treaty between the descendants, essentially, of Lavan, that had ramifications later on in the time of the Shoftim that prevented war.
Oh, okay.
Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. Back to that, the Klei Yakar comments and says, how many stones were there that Yaakov put around his head?
Mm-hmm.
So Klei Yakar says, once he figures out that this place is going to be the Beit HaMikdash, he takes some of these rocks and he took 12 rocks. Famous Midrash, the rocks were arguing. Every single one wanted Yaakov to put his head on that rock. Right? What is this a remez to? So he actually quotes the Rambam, "Aderech shekatav harav ha'more, shelakach ha'elim ha'kadosh baruch ha'makom zeh, sheyeh makom mikdash ve'hichal melech, kidei shelo yeh meriva b'ein ha'shvatim." The Rambam says that there was never an open revelation in the Torah where the Beit HaMikdash would be. Right? Why is that? Because if there would be such a revelation, then all the Shvatim would argue about which Shevet gets to have that Nachala. And Hashem didn't want that. He just says, whichever place that Hashem chooses.
Nevertheless, it was not where it was going to be. When Yosef met Benjamin, if I'm not mistaken, they cried on each other's neck because Yosef knew that in the area of Binyamin, the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed. So it wasn't known where the Beit HaMikdash was going to be.
That's true. Okay, I mean, that's what the Midrash says. That's what the Midrash says. But the Torah never describes it. The Torah never explicitly says it. So maybe there was a secret. And for those who, definitely the Shvatim didn't know themselves. So HaKetzad. So how does this work out? B'sha'an shekana David etagorim min ha'aravan ha'yibusi, gava dekesim mikol shvatim. When David HaMelech eventually was Mekadesh Yerushalayim as the place where, and Har Moriah, as the place where the Beit HaMikdash was going to be, he collected money from all of the Shvatim in order to buy the plot of land from Aravavna HaYavusi, to buy that plot of land to put the Beit HaMikdash. He didn't have to do that, right? He was king. He had lots of money. But he took the money from all the Shvatim so that it would not belong to any one Shevet, even though it was in the Chelek of Yehuda and Binyamin. Every single person is going to want it, but in the end, they're all going to become one Evan. And that's what David did when he collected the money from everybody. He said, this land, Yerushalayim, is lo nitchalka l'shvatim. It's actually not divided up. It cannot be divided up. You can't own land in Yerushalayim. In the old city, you're not allowed to actually own. You don't actually functionally own the land. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael as a partnership. Okay, getting back to this pasuk, Vayav gamet Rachel milaya. What does the word gam mean? So here's the kliyaka. Mashma shaya ohevet leah, zulat shahavet Rachel yotar milaya. It sounds like, the kliyaka says, you know, it's interesting. It looks like Yaakov indeed loved Leah, because the pasuk said he loved Rachel more than Leah. That means that he loved Leah. This is Barbara's question, but the Torah says that Leah perceived that she was hated. Also, ma'u gam, what does gam mean? V'nir l'fishi yitrona chokhma ba min ha-sichlut ki yitrona or ha-ba min ha-choshach. Ki ein nikar ez oma la'ada sh'ro'in ha-heda v'ro'in zeh k'neged zeh, az nireh b'yoter yitrona chokhma va-or. Kach Yaakov haya oevet Rachel mitzad atzma. Okay, so this is a harsh kliyakar. He says that basically Yaakov's love of Rachel was increased because of Leah. Why? Because he compared them. He loved Rachel, and then when he looked at Leah, he loved Rachel even more. Okay, this is a rough kliyaka. He says, this mem of Mileah is not a mem of Yitron, it's a mem of causation. That's one explanation he gives. He gives another explanation. Yeshomim shetosefet ahava zon nimshach Mileah ba'avur shemasra simana leleah. This one means that Yaakov loved Rachel because of what she did for Leah, right? She loved Rachel, he loved Rachel Yoter because of what she did for Leah, that she gave the simanim to Leah. And that increased her love for Rachel. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we have another one, the Chatam Sofer. You know, why don't we skip the Chatam Sofer tonight. We don't need to do it. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, Vayomer Lavan, Hishiv lo lo tachshov shasiti zov mnei she'ani rotzeh l'shanot shelo letet lecha adrecha. Okay. Lavan, when he's trying to defend himself, Yaakov says, you know, you changed my wages, 10 times, and you treated me so horribly, and I worked so hard. So Lavan says, don't think, oh, no, I'm sorry, hold on one second. No, sorry, this is before this. This is when Lavan switched Rachel and Leah. So Yaakov says, how could you do this to me? Lavan says, well, what do you mean? I didn't want to do this. And I didn't want to force you to marry Leah. You had to, I only did this so that you would be able to marry Rachel. Right? Because Lavan says that, in our place, you don't marry the younger before you marry the older. So if you want to be able to marry the younger, then you have to marry the older. So I tricked you into marrying Leah, but only, it's not a trick. This is the cost of marrying Rachel. Lo chalatet lachat Rachel ad shaleati yadayish. If I would give to you, then everybody would protest. So it's a good thing I had you marry Leah so that you'd be able to marry Rachel. Okay, we'll skip that one. Let's go on to the Netziv.
Wasn't there an idea that there's a reproach there? A sort of, you know, that about not marrying the younger before the older, the Yaakov and Esav thing, birthright.
Yeah, that is a subtext. That is definitely a subtext over there. Okay, now on to the Hamakdavah, the Netziv. He has a few pieces over here I wanted to look at. One, a very nice piece, right at the beginning. When Yaakov has a dream, he has a dream of the angels going up and down, right? So the Netziv points out, it's very strange. It says, Olim v'yordim bo. Mitchila olim v'achar kach yordim. You would have expected that the angels would be coming down the ladder first and then going up. But they're going up first and then coming down. Mizei v'in she'ashchina lemata ba'aretz. We learn from there that the Shechina is actually, especially in the case of Yaakov, is actually here in our world, and the Malachim are around him. And they go up in a Shlichut from Hashem to affect the upper world, and then they come back down. That's how Hashgacha Pratit works around the Tzaddikim, like Yaakov. Hashem is hovering above him, so to speak, whatever that means, and the angels leave from Hashem. That's what we learn from there.
I don't understand that. Sorry. I don't understand what that means about the angels affecting what happens in the upper world.
Well, in Kabbalistic terms, the way that this world works is that we are on the lowest level of reality. We're on the lowest plane of reality. And there are other planes above us. And what happens above us affects our world.
Oh, I see.
So in order to affect our world, the angel goes up, you know, so to speak. That's up, down is not really, it's not really directions. But they manifest on a higher plane in order to make a change that gets affected in this world.
Okay, thank you.
Who was it that said that the angels, it says Olim v'Yoradim, because the angels that accompanied Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael were different from the angels who accompanied him out of Eretz Yisrael. So the first set of angels went up. And then later, another set of angels came to accompany him out.
That's Rashi. Yeah. But it's also going to be the Sfat Emet, as he's going to point that. He's going to take that even deeper in a minute. Let's do here. When Lavan talks to Yaakov, he basically trash talks with Yaakov and says, "You know, I could do something to you, but I'm not going to." So he says, "V'lo yavichem shiker Lavan v'amar liYaakov shekadosh baruch hu hiro midaber klal mikom makom eino chosheish midaber v'kein v'kach yesh biyado la'asot ra." He says, "Hashem told me not to say anything to you, but I'm talking to you anyways. So you know, I'm just choosing not to do anything bad." V'amar kan v'lashon rabim imachem avichem. Here, let's skip to the end of this. Ratzalit barer sheino yareim elay Avraham. He wanted to be flashy and say that I'm not afraid. He says, "I'm not really afraid of you. I could do anything I want to you, but all I'm asking is for the trafim." But the truth is, he really was afraid. Why did I want to show you this? Actually, here is why I wanted to show you this. Okay, here we go. He says, Lavan catches Yaakov and his whole family and all of the people that are with him. And the truth is that the only one he has a claim on is Yaakov. But he catches them all and he accuses them all. Kach derech umot ha'olam. K'shorin Yisrael achad sheganav, yomru al kol avdei Hashem shehem ganavim. This is the way that the rest of the nations work. They catch one Jew that's stealing, and they say all the Jews are thieves. They think that it's our Judaism that gives us a right or permission to do this. So they say we have to destroy Judaism. Says, and we see this nowadays. Lavan bikesh la'arog et Yaakov achiv imo. Halo haya b'ze oker et ha'yadut. He wanted to destroy everything. He says something very similar here. Lavan goes back to his place. We know we were talking about Lavan. It could have just said, "Vayelech vayeshev limkomo." So why does it say it? It's telling you that all of the bracha that Lavan had was only because of Yaakov. And just like Lavan saw, Kmo shara Lavan b'trafim, shamar nechashti v'ayvarchein Hashem b'galachi, he saw from the trafim that all of his bracha came from Yaakov. When he got back, he didn't have it anymore. Kol zeh siman labanim. She'esh umot ha'olam she'en mazalam tov be'etzem. There are many nations that their mazal is not good. Ela b'shvil Yisrael shebekirbam. But when the Jews are amongst them, they succeed. Va'abracha lehem. Kasher yatzu Yisrael mehem yashuv alekoach dal v'razeh. But when the Jews leave, their power wanes. Their power wanes and they get left in the dustbin of history. Ayin, Greece and Rome and Egypt
and Spain.
And Spain and France, etc., etc.
By the way, as an aside, I knew someone who was studying for his master's in Spain. He's writing his thesis in Spanish history, and the topic of his thesis was, "We Jews made Spain what it was, and you Christians made Spain what it is."
We Jews, what? I didn't hear that, Joseph.
The
Tell
topic
again.
Of his thesis when he was studying at the University of Madrid.
Yeah.
I was studying at the University of Madrid at the same time as an undergraduate.
Okay.
And this is someone I met who was studying in a graduate school, and he was writing his thesis, and his topic was, "We Jews made Spain what it was, and you Christians made Spain what it is."
Not very politically correct.
Neither was he.
Okay, so the Sfat Emet, we're almost done. The Sfat Emet says, this is what my father was referring to before, Malachi Elohim olim v'yordim. Amru Chazal, Malachim sheliveo be'eretz Yisrael, alu v'yordu malachei chutz la'aretz. The Malachim at the beginning of the parasha, those are the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael that are olim, that are going up, and the Malachim of chutz la'aretz that are coming down to escort Yaakov into chutz la'aretz. V'chein diyesh l'kol makom malachim yuchadim. Because every single place has special malachim. But the Sfat Emet takes this a step further. He says, V'chein, v'b'chinat hazman, yesh malachi Shabbat, malachi Chol. There are also malachim of time. Each time has its own malachim. Pa'am achat k'tiv malachav yitzav alach, o pa'am achat k'tiv chone malach Hashem saviv, k'mo shekatuv mizeh bazohar. Malachav yitzav alach, malachi Chol. That pasuk, Malachav Yitzav Alach, those are the Malachi Chol that goes with us everywhere we go in the world. Then the second place of the Malachim that protect us when we're on our day of rest, that's the Malachim of Shabbat. You have mitzvot that are specific to places, and you have mitzvot that are specific to times. Our job changes according to time and place. So he goes, Shalom aleichem malachei
asharet.
Why do we say Shalom aleichem malachei asharet? Those are the malachim that are coming in for Shabbat. When at the end we say tzeitchem l'shalom, it's weird. Why are we saying goodbye to malachim? Don't we want them to stick around? Those are the malachei chol. So that's why we tell them we say goodbye.
Would it make more sense to say goodbye to the malachei chol first? And then
to the malachei asharet? It would make more sense to say that to me. But maybe that's not how it works. Maybe that's not how it
works.
When you have a changing of the guards, a changing of the guard, the guards, first the new guards come in, and then the old guards leave.
Okay.
So maybe that's why.
Okay. You don't want to start by saying Sitchen Shalom, goodbye. Steer.
Right. So another Sfat Emet over here, he says, Vine Ber Basadet, the well, right? That Yaakov lifted off the rock of the well. He says, Abe'er hi bichlal, Brat kol ish Yisrael, vihi kochan shel Yisrael bapeh. He says the Be'er is a metaphor for every Jew, and every Jew has is a well, and on top of the well you have a rock. So the well the be'er is our power of speech. Rak v'heaven gedola al pi ha'be'er, kama shekatav b'makom acher, hadiyuk d'lo k'tiv v'even rak v'ha'even. Per sheyetzer hara mitgaber u'mitgadel b'yoter al pi ha'be'er, k'inyan shamu ha'gadol mechavero yitzro gadol. So that the rock that sits on the be'er, that's the yetzer hara. And when we come to speak to God, that rock is there, and we can't speak. V'lachein, be'et ha'tfilah mitgaber b'yoter ha'yetzer hara levalbel machshavot zarot. During tefillah, the yetzer hara gets stronger, and it can't be lifted off. Ach she'tzrichin le'asof kol ha'kachot, k'mo she'katuv v'ne'asfu. You have to gather all of your strength. V'zu ha'asifa she'ach gam b'chol prat le'asof kol ha'kachot v'ramach ibarim. Gimel ed reitzon hu'b'chinat machshavat dibur ha'masa. Those are the things that we do in order to overcome the yetzer hara, through speech, through thought, and through action. And that's why we say Hashem Sfatai Tiftach. That's Ptichat Pia Be'er, trying to remove the cover of the Be'er. We're praying to Hashem to remove the cover of the Be'er.
Wow.
Okay, the last thing we'll do tonight, the Ktav HaKabbalah. There are two pieces here that I, no, there's one piece here that I wanted to go over. This was really, really surprising, to me at least. I sent this out on the WhatsApp group, but we'll go over it. When Rachel finally has not her own children, but she has children through Bilhah, so she names one Dan and one of them Naphtali. Why did she name the first one Dan? She says, "Ki danani Elohim, because God has judged me." Now, usually you would read this pasuk, you say, "God has judged me favorably, right? God has judged me, and I deserve to have a child, so I'm having a child through Bilhah." That's what you would think. But that's not what the Ktav HaKabbalah says. Rata yimeinu Rachel b'liba shebnei chatata nimna'a milolid. She saw that it's because of her sin that she didn't have children. Ke'acharei ro'a ki hayta le'a snu'a b'nei isha v'hu eino kove'a dirato etzel le'a rak etzla v'hi lo yishtadla la'vio l'karveo le'a. She saw that Le'a felt hated, and she saw that Yaakov was spending more time with Rachel. The right thing to do was to encourage Rachel, Yaakov to go spend time with Leah. Masha, ya ra'ui le'isha kama lasot. That's what she should have done. Gam yichsa la'atzma tzad avon asher chata'a shelo shava ad Elohim kamo she'ema b'rivka, kamo she'asta chana. Her reaction to Leah's children wasn't to turn to God, but to be jealous and to complain. L'chein amra danani Elohim. God has judged me. Ratzon lomar, badinu mishpat manasha mimeni banim, b'masha lo kadamti lefanav b'tfila karaoi. Basically, when she names Dan, she's naming Dan that God has judged me, that I don't deserve to have children. It's through God's judgment, and it's true, and it's correct. She's doing what's called tziduk adin. And then also for the second child, naftule Elohim niftalti. Right, that's why she names him Naphtali, which Rashi says means that my tricks have worked. Naftulei Elohim Niftalti. I did tricks and it worked. I have a child. Hitzdika la'atzma midat adin lehodot pisha v'chatata la'Hashem b'ma sheichitza v'yitziva et ruchachota. He says again that she's recognizing that she did something wrong to Leah. V'chasha mini'at ishtadluta la'haiva b'ini ba'ala l'derech ikesh uftalto. This word uftalto, that's the Naphtali. That's Naphtulei Elohim Niftalti. Ikeshu Fitalto, this is somebody who is stubborn and set in bad ways. Lashon Naphtulei Elohim, Klamar, Naphtulim Gdolim Vatumim Kamo Ir Gdola Lelohim. These are strong, strong waywardness, right? I'm refusing to help Le'ah. And especially the end of the phrase, Gam Yacholti, which Rashi understands means I succeeded. He says, no, Tamo, itamatzti v'itchazakti lalecha b'derech ikesh zeh. I persisted and I tried hard to go in this stubborn way. So Rachel is basically blaming herself for her barrenness and saying that it's my fault because A, I didn't take care of my sister Leah, and B, I didn't actually approach God and take my case to him and beg him for children. I just complained. So that's why she names Dan Dan and Naphtali Naphtali, which is a pretty surprising explanation over here. Okay.
So based on these two explanations, what did Rachel change to make her conceive?
Well, so what's the answer to that? What's the very next story? What happens right after? I don't know what just happened. What happens after she has Dan and Naphtali? And, well, the next thing that happens is that Leah takes Zilpah and she has God and Asher. But
yes.
What happens next to Rachel?
It's not the story with the Dudaim, is it?
Yeah, it's the story with the Dudaim, right? Here, look, let's see. So then Leah sees what she's done and she also has her own two children. And then, so she comes to take the Dudaim Leah gets upset. So what does Rachel do? Rachel says, you go be with Yaakov tonight. You can take my night. Meaning, according to the Ktav Kabbalah, a form of tshuva. She says, okay, you can have Yaakov tonight. I'm going to push him to you. And then, because that,
go ahead.
Some kind of flower, jasmine. Who knows?
Okay.
So those are the perushim that I wanted to go over with you tonight. Shakach, everybody.
Thank you. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Shakach.